Hello, I am Bevo from Eagle, and we are live on our first edition of the Breaking Heads International podcast. With me is my co-host, Arne. Arne, happy that you are here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
We will try this out. My English is terrible, but this is the reason I have Arne at my side, so he can help me. Usually I help myself with swear words. This is something that happens if you're not good in language. Sometimes you should just swear, and that's the reason I choose. It was really easy to find the first our first guest for the podcast, because with me swearing, it was really easy to find him. Nassim Foucham, we are happy to have you.
Hello, hello, hi everyone, how are you? Thanks for having me on board, boys.
We are happy. Nassim, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? Just like where the big crit.
Well, I'm currently living in the UK. I've been here for enough years to qualify as a legitimate UK player for Team England, so that's nice. been playing for UK for what? 2023 now? For UK for just on the, well, the start of 2019, so.
Start of 2019, so 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years pretty much. Yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty much me. I've been played notoriously if a faction has had a good shooting phase, I have been playing that. is the running joke apparently. But yeah, that's pretty much about a little bit about me and my 40k. Just very briefly, just been playing the game for 4 years, having fun, made it to Team England this year. Except for the WTC as well.
Yeah, we will hopefully, I cannot wait to, maybe, because I don't know if I will be on the German team, but I will go to Belgium this year and just to meet people, and they'll be happy to meet you there at the WTC for England. Why is Nassim a part of our first podcast, apart from his ability to cancel podcasts and podcast members all over the world?
Hey,
knock on wood over here.
I'm literally touching wood. Listen, all I can say in regard to that is keep it very professional. It's usually, I guess you could say, misinterpretations that happen from people around myself rather than me. I like to say I'm usually on my best behavior, apart from the occasional swearing.
Yes. I don't think this will be a problem here. But were some reasons why you're part of Team England, or have become a clear member of Team England this year? You had a really good ITC season. You had some notable wins. And the part that impresses me most is your best in faction with Adeptus Astartes for 2022 in the ITC. And also your best in faction Tau 2022 in the ITC. So congratulations. I don't know anybody, maybe somebody told you, who ever was able to get two best infections before in a year.
No, I actually asked and they said no, it's the first one. I was like, nice, I'll take it.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Definitely, I think one of my highlights of this year, at least achievement wise. Sure.
So you told us that you love shooting faces, so no surprise when that Tau is your best infection, but Adeptus Astartes, so tell us a little bit about how did you get your points in 2022 with your Adeptus Astartes?
Yeah, so essentially with my Marines, a lot of people that know me like will know that I pretty much exclusively played Iron Hands. Mm-hmm. I mainly came from TTS, and I played a lot of practice during COVID. And when it came to events, I had like a list I was refined that I knew what I wanted to do with, but it's a list archetype. And came into the game for a few months, played a few events in Super Majors, then took a break for I think 7 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. And then during near the end of the season, ended up playing more Iron Hands. I got back into it properly. I think it was when Tau had just been released, when Nids were, some say, at their very, very prime, which is a week of, before they had received the first nerf, let's say this.
Yes. And before Encircle the Prey was nerfed,
yeah. Yeah, trust me, I know. I was like, oh, I can shoot this harpy. Oh, wait, no, I can't. I'm sorry. So that was my reintroductory into essentially 40k for the 2022 season. Did that, had a lot of strong performances. My losses were essentially to, I think, exclusively David Gaylard with his Tyranid spam at the time, mm-hmm. with his Worry spam, Leviathans, and the other one was to Eldar, when I generally could never shoot them, ever. Like, I could never shoot them. I moved 8, and they moved more, and shot. I moved after they shot.
Swooping Hawks, Fire and Fading.
Yes, it was Swooping Hawks, it was Fire and Fading. I think it was, like, Dire Avengers shooting and then moving behind the wall, and I was just like, this is just... What is this? What's going on here?
I mean, to be honest, this sounds impressive. You play at a time when, well, nobody is playing Space Marines, and nobody is playing Space Marines on a high level.
Yeah, I'll take the words of praise. Thank you for that. But yeah, I think it was mainly at the time, like, no one was playing Space Marines. Like, I mean, there was no one of note within the gaming community that was playing Space Marines. And for me, it was just the main army that I owned that I know I could do well with. For what I owned, it was that old guard. God was definitely not the option until now. until cough. But yeah, so I mean, there was that. So, like, I did well events. I wouldn't podium or anything like a super major. But like, I'd win a couple of GTs. I'd podium in, like, a major, and like at the OGT Open. But I'd go consistently, like, go 4-1. I would drop a game consistently at a super major if he's somebody with the very top list run by a very good player. But that was essentially that for the majority of the season until the latter part of it.
Yeah, I remember you getting a little bit of, like, this nickname of X and 1.
Yeah.
What was the exact one?
It's
you remember better than me.
It's a... Oh man, I forget. I think it was like X1 Chini. I was like, oh, okay. It's just X1 Chini or Raise That Banner Chini. I was like, okay.
True.
Raise That Banner. I stand by that. Listen, banners is great. I went from X1 Chini, and then that all changed after LGT, which was great. Couldn't say that anymore. But yeah, no, it was a good run with the Marines. Yeah. It was definitely fun. Definitely one of the armies that very near and dear to my heart, and that I've had a lot of reps with.
You played my last question for Aaron. I think you played like Aaron has listed me no today, but I think the one part I liked about it when I played you was just like these melee elements in it. Like, yes, you had great shooting, but you, if you couldn't shoot something, you didn't care. You could just charge them in melee and just destroy them. I always liked this.
Yeah. I think I remember one time when, like, we had a game and I had charged you with Blade Guard Veterans, and you was like, why are they hitting on twos? Why are they exploding sixes to hit? Why are they exploding sixes to win? You were just so confused. I remember that, yeah, because I think I charged your Land Raider, and you're like, wait, what's... Why are you doing damage? What's going on?
And you were able to kill the Land Raider with the charging Blade Cut, and I was like, wait, wait a second, what happened here? Sounds good.
But yeah, no, it was always great. Definitely, because like as much as the meme is, I have all of the guns, I take all of the guns, and I only care about the guns, which is, you know, a fair assumption. Mm-hmm. At a surface level, I definitely am a big fan of adding, having a balanced list. Just as long as you have tools to answer everything, which includes the melee, the utility, the shooting, and the support, I think the list is, at least it's the type of list that I enjoy playing.
So, and I think from the very beginning, your Iron Hands were always Whirlwind of Rage. Never playing anything else than that.
Yeah, it was Whirlwind of Rage. I went from Whirlwind of Rage of Born Heroes when I had a lot more melee components, such as like triple Vanguard Vets or full use of Vanguard Vets, when Vanguard Vets were really good. Always Rush Assault Doctrine there, which was quite ironic. And went on to slowly transition to slightly more and more shooting with different melee components and more Dreadnoughts for heavier punch in melee, slightly fewer Vanguard Vets with not necessarily needing the speed. And so I went over to Master Artisans, which was nice.
So we are in the middle of the year. You are quite successful, especially considering you're playing Iron Hand Space Marines. And you start playing Tau. Why do you start playing Tau? What's the reason?
So not many people actually know the story for why I actually played Tau. So so me and my team were having a practice day at Badminton Cafe in London over here in the UK. Definitely recommend going there if everybody ever goes. Just a small plug there. Great, like they have like the tables with, and they have most importantly parts of LGD terrain and table mats that are laid out. So we went there, played a few games, and I was like with my Iron Hands, and one of my mates Ross in my team War Masters had his Tau, and he just could never beat Harlequin. So he's one of my teammates and mates as well, Ryan. So I was like, all right. I was like, listen here, I can beat Harlequins with Tau. It's my first time playing Tau. I genuinely told him, I'm going to need you by my side here to explain to me some of the weapon profiles. And I'm going to make some tweaks to your list after having a quick, like, read of, like, YRPG. I mean, like, I spent, like, 5-10 minutes on YRPG. I was like, all right, this is what I want in my list.
Oh, I'm loving this already.
And then I was like, all right, cool. And then my mate Ryan was like, yeah, like, I'd like to see him. He's just like you're just going to lose. You just smash Ross every time. I was like, all right, okay. We'll leave it. Let's see. And then I play it. I win. And I win the first time. This is with no planes, by the way. I had zero planes in this list before I knew planes were a thing. I found out 2 weeks after. So I had that, and then I beat him once, and he was like, all right, no, let's go again. And then he was even more hopeless the second time. And he was like, I don't know what to do. Like I don't know how Harlequins win this matchup now against Tau. And I'm just like, yeah, how do they win this matchup against Tau, actually? And actually, I was thinking, wait, you can do what with Tau? You can ignore modifiers, reroll wounds, reroll hits and wounds. You can have how many gun profiles on these guys? They can do what for free? And I just fell in love with the army. I was like, oh, they move, they can redeploy, they're super fast, they're super killy, they ignore most offensive buffs in the game. And I was like, all right, this list could actually deal with like the meta, which was at the time Necrons. It could kill Necrons fast enough, so screw their scoring. And it could absolutely go through the Tyranid Warrior profile fully buffed, because Transhuman, you don't care because you have Strength 4. Cover, you ignored cover. You had AP that forced the invuln regardless. You had multi-damage, you had 3 damage and 2 damage. You had a lot of shots. You could reroll hits and wounds. You had commanders that were BS2, so you don't care about a -1 hit. You had 3 marker lights, so your army was hitting on freeze within close range. You wanted to be close because you had your reroll. It just had all of the rules that you wanted. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take this to LGT 1 week before list submission. And I was like,
oh my God.
So it was 3 weeks before LGT. I was like, I'm going to play Tau. And my teammates were just like, oh, what do you mean you're playing Tau? You're not playing your Iron Hands? That's not really a smart idea. You've barely played Tau. I was like, yeah, I'll figure it out. And then and a build up to it, because I still had work. Every time I would go back from work, I'd play at least one game of 40k, and then I played like 3 games on a weekend, and then by the time I had like 8 games roughly, and I knew what type of list I wanted to take. That didn't just include playtesting, but it had a lot of discussing list ideas with other top tower players at the time. Brian Seep in the UK, had Carl Grundy as well. And also everybody over here, like in the Discord, you know, your hottest takes, because people are just going to be crazy, and I was just like, I can do it. Help me. Yeah, what's good, what's bad? And then, yeah, and then the rest is essentially history with the Tau. Yeah.
Perfect. So you go to LGT, just for our listeners who maybe not know this, LGT, but I think the second biggest tournament of the year, or let's say of the ITC season, just 100 people less than LVO. Mm-hmm. And you were what place were you in the end? Were you
I came second. Roll off.
Yeah. You missed the roll off, that means you did go through how many rounds to reach the final?
It's a total of 10 rounds. I think it's the same as LVO, except the shadow rounds are recorded, so it was 10 rounds of 4K.
Yeah, nice.
10 I think about I think I got to skip one of them, but it's 10 rounds of 40k. I think I played in 9.
So are you saying you went 8-1?
No, because I got the free win. Because I still a win.
Oh, so 9-1. Okay.
I went 9-1. Yeah, I went 9-1. That's the Sacco in the finals.
With a list you learned 2 weeks ago.
Hey, 2.5 weeks.
Two and a half. Well, okay, so 2.5 weeks. That's rather nice. You seem to be a fast learner. Was it hard building all these town models in the 2.5 weeks?
Well, it's funny you say that. I don't own a single town model to my name at all. I just told my mate. So I was like, oh, like, do you need to use my towel? Like, and that's the reason why I went with the towel. I was like, oh, could I use your towel if I was to take the towel? He was like, oh, really? Yeah, sure, why not? I was like, all right, boys, I'm going with towel. That's how it worked. I was like, all right, sweet, we're going that way.
I definitely remember the at least 3 times a day in the Discord spam of looking for game, looking for game. Yes, yes. It was definitely something to watch.
Yeah, I think, like, of course, we'll make a little bit of fun of, oh, you came completely unprepared to AGG, but your training was intense.
I got little sleep. I think I was, at least that week on this mission, I had like, I think it was 5 hours worth of sleep a day. I was just like, I was exhausted. But I was like, okay, I need to not screw up. The pressure was on now. I was like, oh.
So you're a fast learner. What interests me is, we say, okay, yeah, of course you play shooting armies. Does it really help? So did it help you? But you had all your iron hands, maybe target priorities, whatever shooting tricks, in the back of your mind when you went over to Tau. Did this help?
It definitely helped a little bit. I think it helped a little bit more in the positioning element rather than the actual activation. Because what I found when I moved over to Tau is that it had significantly less activations, but they were all so much more valuable. So I had, and luckily I had all these practice games, because I think the longest games I had of 40k were all in my practice games. And it was figuring out some key elements, which was one, knowing when to redeploy and when, well, to be fair, I didn't have the redeploy at the time. So it was just like, just deploying. I did all of LGT without example of the Kalyan. It's like, what does this mean? I want to have this Cold Star commander that has ignores the face cap, which was terrible, by the way, in retrospect. Wish I had to redeploy, but anyways, it was mainly figuring out, okay, how am I going to deploy on this terrain, how am I going to do each round, because it was, so essentially I was always playing a 10 from behind even if I was going first, because I was like, I can't alpha strike them unless it's just with the planes. So I was mainly figuring out what was useful in iron hands that could transition over. The character positioning of auras, were the big ones, when to trade resources and when not to. Iron hands was more of a trading game, how really were not, because you couldn't afford to. Try to replicate over the MSU crisis squads, which helped to an extent. But I think you kind of had to almost relearn the activation process. What helped is that you knew how much damage you could do. Because when you roll so many dice in 40k with different gun profiles, you have an inkling and of an understanding of how much this can do when you fire it. So I always understood, thanks to my games with iron hands, the damage that the list could do in a shooting phase. Like, I knew the 5 crisis suits could split this way and it would be fine. I knew that I could do this crisis suits here, split that way and it would be fine. I think that was probably one of the biggest takes from it.
Yes, sounds like a great help, but a lot of other things you explained here now. Right, you had to learn new Wuppertal. Interesting. Let's just jump ahead. Let's make a big jump. So, second place, Rondan. Again, congratulations. Great result. And I think you were like a what was your overall placement in ITC? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I came 5th. I think the placement was Jack, Vic, Mike, David, and me. Top 5.
So really good place. And you tried to get even a better place, and you went to Las Vegas. And I believe most of the, I think we called it, what did we call it on? British Invasion?
I think so.
Yeah, because of a British invasion. And I think...
Retaking the colonies.
retaking the colonies. Okay. I like that. Didn't work out in the end. I believe you and Mike were the last two guys standing. Yeah. I think I saw you losing in the Shadow Round. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, would you have taken a different list to Las Vegas? Would you have done something different?
No, I don't think I would have taken a different list. I think the archetype of Tau that I had then was the strongest at the time, and I still think so now. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was anything list-wise I could have done differently. I think I still would have stuck with the same list and taken the same list.
Okay. Just maybe different game matchup. I think terrain was a big...
Going from the table that we initially had to the stream table was a jump, which wasn't the most beneficial to myself, but it's fine. It's like it's at the end of the day, those are the choices that I make. So it's not an excuse. I'd probably potentially deploy my terrain slightly differently, and deploy a unit or probably just deploy a unit or two maybe differently as well. I'd need to rewatch it properly in further detail, but I think overall the game plan was fine. Execution of it was all right. Could have maybe had, I guess, I hate to say this, a dice, like literally a single die go in my favor a little bit more, which was not the first turn roll off, by the way.
Sometimes it's just a dice game.
Yeah, I mean, it is a dice game, and you can't be mad at the dice because of it. It's like, at the end of the day, when you agree to play 40k, you agree to surrender yourself to as much as there's a law of average when you roll dice, and you have rerolls to mitigate dice. You surrender yourself to the fact that it is a dice game. Dice will be dice. You can't be mad at the fact, or you can't be mad at the result of the dice, because it's not something that you can control.
Still?
Yeah.
Sorry?
No, it's just agreeing.
Yeah. It's we cannot do anything. Ah, I get so angry about dice sometimes. I'm getting so tilted by dice sometimes. But no, I'm not. I think that's like the big thing I learned from playing the past 3 years with you guys. It's like I'm no longer getting tilted by dice. I'm getting angry as always, and I'm shouting and crying to God and whatever. But I'm not no longer getting tilted. So like this is, especially when playing this year. So this is.
You just can't out dice me.
I mean, what was it? This is just 5-ups. That's average. This is average 5-ups. I mean, this is maybe a story we just have to mention. So, Nassim, Iron Hands have the stratagem to gain a 5-up feel no pain on their infantry. Nassim, would you like to tell us what the average number of 5-ups you make? Like maybe a number out of 10?
I'll probably like 3 out of 10.
Are you sure?
What do you mean?
No, I just certainly remember some Nassim dice. And maybe that's just when you play me or anyone else I know.
Listen, all I'm going to say is you can't blame the dice when they go 40, but you can definitely take credit when they go your way. This is what I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, I see. You can just take credit when the dice go well. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
It just happens really often. The issue.
You just gotta roll well.
Yeah, just don't stop rolling bad.
Yeah.
Yes. Stop. Yes. I was really confused looking watching the game because you were on the War Games live stream, I believe, and I was like really confused with some of your rolls, and I was like, why does he never roll this against me? This is so.
Yeah. Why do I never roll badly like any other game apart from like, you know, one of the big games that matters, dice? Well, like we're gonna have to abandon you today, my boy. You see that cultist? It's not gonna die. Mm. This plane is not gonna kill this cultist squad. No chance.
So really great Nephilim season, Nephilim and Nachmon season, to be honest. And we asked like in our Breaking Heads community before we made the interview with you, what are you interested in asking Nassim? Do you have any questions? And we got a lot of questions from Tau players who all ask what are your views on Tau? What faction are you playing now? So Nassim, please tell us what Tau sub faction are you playing at the moment?
So the Tau subfaction I'm playing at the moment is called Bone Soldiers in Astra Militarum Codex. It's either that or it's Master Artisans and Warlord in Rage in the Ironhide Supplement Codex of the Tau Codex. No, but I guess to move on and just say a little bit about the transition that I've had like into ARX. Like in the build up to LVO, I've been playing a few games of ARX and now the after LVO as well. I definitely went from playing Tau. It was still Farsight Enclaves. Still believe that's the way to go. Even if everybody can get two commanders, you get two commanders and what about the cost of a CP, which is massive. It's huge.
Do you like Borkham? I would just put some of the talk questions still in.
I do like Borkan. I think Borkan is an option. The main issue I have with Borkan is that it's not Farsight Enclaves.
Okay, so clear world for Farsight Enclaves.
I still think Farsight is stronger.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, dear Tau players who listen to this. We cannot help you, but Farsight Enclaves. Do it.
There you go.
I think it's the same thing, but I would have told any Tau player in the country, but okay.
They're not listening to you now, are they, Wolf?
Nobody is listening to me. So it doesn't matter.
We're kidding. No, but Farsight's definitely the way to go. It was. I would say the only thing that's realistically changed in the list is that, unfortunately, you have to drop the Enforcer and you do go for the Crisis and Cold Star. Those are the two critical commanders. I reverted to a very similar list I had at Coventry, actually, excluding the two planes. So a Crisis Commander, Cold Star Commander, the two Riptides, and you know the Crisis Suit Blob. But on top of that, also having another drop down squad, and having a bit more utility in the form of another Devilfish and Breacher squad just to help you play the mission, and Primary Denial, which I think is now critical for Arx of Omen, especially for Tau to play going forward. You can't just rely on tabling your opponent straight away. You have to be able to play the mission in some regards.
So when you say another Devilfish, you mean a second one?
Yes, second Devilfish.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean.
So that's two fish, two breachers, and any crude?
No, none of the actual crude. You'd still have the units of crude hounds. I believe I had what was 3 units of crude hounds. My list.
Makes sense.
Just you know the cheapest 3 that you can take. Mm-hmm. And they're still really good. They can still do the actions for you on certain missions. Still pre-game. Still back for the objective holder. Still good screening tool. Still all around pretty versatile and really good. So I'm still a big fan of the Crit Hounds.
Sounds to me still rather killy, to be honest.
It still has the list. Don't get it confused. It still has a lot of damage. Just because it doesn't have planes and it doesn't have commander, the list's damage output hasn't necessarily decreased that much. Its reach has decreased a little bit, depending on the way that you view it, because you can still move the Devilfish and moving this above the squads inside the breaches and still have very good reach in that regards, be like stuff like Eldar or stuff like Guard, but you don't have the plane reach to get something on a backfield objective if they're trying to hide back there, for example. Like the main
was you losing the planes, was this a reason you changed faction? Or
no, so I was when people were saying the planes left, I was still fine. And then the main issue is that I saw the changes that they did to the Marine secondaries. They reverted off of a moment to back how it was, which is really strong. They made Iron Hands the way they were, which I still thought, oh yeah, this is, you know, very strong. I still think Tau is a bit better, which was the case at the time, because like the secondaries are about equal, still a bit Tau favored. And then I read Codex Warfare, unfortunately, and I was like, yes, there is no way Tau win this game anymore. Unfortunately, it's just the main issue is that I've now played this matchup several times, as on both sides, mainly on the Iron Hand side, to be fair. But I've found that the main issue is the Tau can kill the Marines. The Marines do fold like paper. They're not durable. However, it doesn't take a lot of Marines to also kill back the Tau. And the Tau have considerably less resources, so they lose the game of attrition. They have to deal with a character Contemptor that can just wipe out a character, most of a Riptide, if not the entire Riptide, in one go. and then pretty much an entire crisis unit as well, which they always have something that they have to figure out and to deal with. And on top of that, there's just so many other resources in the list that score better secondaries, shock tactics, flipping points with scouts, sticky objectives with troops, which now means that the Tau player has to send resources that they are already limited on to take away primary that they can't really afford to. And if they want to screen restuff like a drop pod, they also have to sacrifice resources, which they don't have many of. And by sacrificing those resources, they're just losing on the secondary game, which is just really rough.
I find this rather interesting. Just for information, we just have on this weekend, but we are doing our interview here with our first major in Germany with Arcs of Omen. And we have one player who's running Iron Hands.
Mm-hmm. And you won?
No. The tournament is still ongoing. Okay. But I was like a little bit confused why are not more people running Iron Hands? Because having played you, of course, I think it's a really strong. The secondaries are really strong. Mm-hmm. And I think I tabled you or nearly tabled you, and you still won soundly on points. Mm-hmm. So
just,
I was like
100 points. It does.
Yeah, you just did 100 points without any problem. And I was like so impressed by Iron Hands. So interesting. Yeah,
I think a factor for taking it is one, the meta and cultural differences there are between Germany and over in the UK. I think Iron Hand, like the birth of it, was originated in Florida with, you know, the Brohammer lot, but then that died down after their OVO 2 years ago. Three years ago.
Oh, good.
Three question. Or four, like, yeah, 3 years ago now. Three to 4 years ago.
Time passes. It's crazy. Yeah.
Long time ago, but then there was like a resurgence of it after COVID over here in the UK when I pioneered essentially what was the modern archetype now. And it's just, because a lot of people would see it from outside of the UK and wouldn't understand it. Mm. And there'd be people from, you know, within the UK that would look at it, would not understand it until they have to physically play against it. And that's when I think that's where the differences come from. So you haven't, because sometimes it's really hard to believe something you don't see, which I think is definitely a factor there. And like most people would think Iron Hands are not the best before this, and then I'd play a game against it, and all of a sudden Liam, which we all know to probably be one of the best players we know, instead of him smashing me, you know, 20-0, I'm scoring points, and he's like, what's going on here? This doesn't really happen. like even the first time I played against him, when he had like old coins with like I had old Iron Hands without a Contemptor, like we played at T5S2, one of the events there, I think like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, like he won that game by like 9 points, and it was like, yeah, crazy.
Yeah, Iron Hands score good on the Liam BSL.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. And now
I love it.
Yep.
So, but you told us that you're not going into arcs with Iron Hands. So, not one of your two factions that, helped you become so successful in the last year. But instead, you choose Guard. Tell us a little bit, Nassim, if you would like to.
Of course.
What list? What kind of list are you running? So we also heard Born Heroes. Exploding Sixes are Outer Worlds.
Yeah, so I think it's the Born Heroes, Born Soldiers. I kind of never just know. I just, all I know is basically just a better version of the Votan one because it's army wide for free, and it procs. Is essentially Born Soldiers. It's not the typical, because I've been seeing a lot of Russ, like the Bleeman Russ heavy list, which, you know, makes sense. It's a very efficient profile, very strong damage output. However, it leaves a lot to be desired in terms of utility, flexibility, really. So I've gone for more of a mixed approach. I've got, you know, not going to go to specifics of the lists, but I've got Sentinels in the lists. I've got quite a few Cajuns in the list as well. I've shockingly enough, I'll say this, I have 3 Lehman Russes only, and I don't think I'll be taking more. Mm-hmm. And I've just really liked the flexibility that the army gives you. Like, when you're playing one of your other main contenders at the moment, because I think Gene Stillicoats and Marines are probably in the top 3 alongside Guard. When you're playing against those I guess you could say your compatriots there. It's they're definitely they're able to hand out serious punishment, which is crazy. Which is really good. It's got really well. They have really good secondaries and stupid damage, and the orders are stupid. They're busted. GW nerfed them.
Yes.
Like I went second beat Alex McDougall with his GSC, and he like tagged like 8 units turn 1, and it move blocked me by the DZ, and it didn't matter. It was still like I think a 16-4.
Oh my god.
That's rough.
Yeah, and it was best case scenario for him, because like, I was like, what do you think happens if guard goes first? He's thinking, I just get absolutely blitzed off the table immediately without move blocking you, so it's worse. I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought as well. This was on decently heavy tables as well.
How's your game map versus Dark Angels?
So I haven't tested. I've played not 2 games of guard after what feels like a million years. Three years roughly. It's last played guard properly. I don't remember myself, to be fair. But yeah, that was essentially. So it's just been quite a long time. In itself, in theory, the matchup isn't terrible for the guard player. It's actually it's pretty well. You can ignore a lot of the defensive buffs that they have with minuses to hit. They have a lot of invuns, but you have a lot of multi-damage to that and volume. And also, it's Kassakin are busted.
True.
Very busted. I didn't even use the on fives, and I still did like 12 model wins. Great. Ooh. I'm just like, I'm just going to roll it the old-fashioned way and spend 1 CP. to actually just do the modern win threat, and that's it. But yeah, I think the matchup into the guard into guard into Space Marines is fine. I think the secondaries are about even, roughly, depending on the arc, the type of Space Marines that you're taking. I think secondaries are about even. If anything, Space Marine favored. However, the resources on both sides is quite a lot. The guard has more flexibility. I'd probably say the Marines have a little bit more outright pure damage.
At least with the list archetypes you're running.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen some guard lists that are just that heavy on the outright damage.
Yeah.
That I'd say they have more, but yeah. I know you've played the matchup from the other side, though, from the Space Marine side into guard. How do you perceive it there?
I think that matchup is more on, it depends, it's rather than the Space Marine player being super competent. I mean, that still matters, of course, like it always matters to a certain level, but I think at the top, I think it's going to matter more on, is the guard player good? Is the guard player know what they're doing? If the answer to that is yes, then it's going to be really hard for the Space Marine to crack that army. And I think it's on the guard player to lose if the lists are around the same, and like if everything is even, I think it's on the guard player to lose. Depending on the list again.
Okay. Also true. We have like again an observation from Germany. Like most people here are doing jokes about, oh yes, everybody told us Astra Militarum Imperial Guard will be so strong, and now they are really weak. And we don't have any top players on them at the moment. And we have not a lot of Imperial Guard players at our tournaments, to be honest. No. What would you say to these people?
I would say thank you very much. So it means I'm going to avoid the nerf. I mean, to be fair, I think Guard's what's currently states at a 48% win rate, which is not actually that high. Because I think even when Nids win, when they release, like, I think Guard has a little bit more in terms of it's easier to screw up when your army can get tagged if you don't have the necessary tools to deal with it. As much as the army offers flexibility, not everybody takes it. Like you said earlier, people have been heavy on the damage, and it's great, you have more damage. However, then you run into the same problem that an army like Iron Hands does, where it has great damage. However, outside of it, people ask me, can you advance, can you heroic? No, you just do a lot of damage.
So what really are you taking to give you with more flexibility?
So I'm just taking a lot more core. I'm taking transports, so I'm taking a few chimeras. I'm taking mm-hmm. the actual infantry themselves, which people I don't see many people taking, which is shocking me. Like, I'm taking sentinels. I'm just taking a little bit of everything. Yeah. In really.
So just more units on the board that can interact, just do actions, stand in the way, hold markers.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. So hold markers, deny markers, everything essentially.
I like it. I like it. Okay, so maybe with for our German, or not for our German, but for maybe all our Imperial Guard players, just don't take too many Lehman Russ, don't take too many Kaskin, maybe just a little bit more flexible.
Yeah, you don't need to take max of something just because it's good. Like, you don't, like, you don't need to do this. Like, I know there's certain people, cough, they shall not be named, we know who their name starts with M, that, like, it's just spam free of everything, but that doesn't mean that's the correct way to play the game. Like, just because a profile is super efficient and super good, doesn't mean it's super efficient, super good if you keep taking it. The efficiency does drop off.
And to be honest, like, the Imperial Guard secondaries are like stand where, and you get like this crazy amount of secondary points.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to kill something with an order, that's 2 points. I'm going to stand next to my officers that I want to do anyways, that's another 2 points. All your vehicles are there too? I have another point, why not? Boots on the ground? You mean stand in my backfield objectives and this corner and this corner, and I score like 14? Okay.
Yes, please. So, concentrating more on staying alive a little bit, doing the damage, doing the secondaries. Yeah, I think that's nice to hear. I would love to see some more good players pick up Imperial Guard here in Germany in the meantime, and I believe it's a high skill cap guard, to be honest. But
no. Yeah, I would say the skill ceiling, the skill floor for it is also pretty high. I think you can do really well at guard at an event, but I think if you want to win a super major, it's like going to need to have the right list with the right reps and have the right answers for each encounter that you run into.
Let's see. We will be looking forward for your results with Guard.
Thank you very much.
In the UK, have you already played a tournament with them? No.
No, I haven't played. I think my first singles tournament is going to be in the United States. So
first singles will be in the United States.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be like end of next month before the super majors really start kicking in for me.
Oh, you're already returning to the US? Interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to be returning in March for Adepticon, for the teams event and the singles event there.
Ah, okay. Nice.
So that's going to be interesting.
Will you be coming to the Alpine Cup? Austria? I heard something.
I might go to support and just go there for a holiday. I don't know if I'm going there and actually play myself.
Oh, would have loved to play you.
Yeah, okay. Would have been great. Me and you in the finals. There you go.
I mean, our team.
You'll have to go through me first.
Yeah, exactly. So
and Fred and
yeah, exactly. So yeah, so me and Wolf in the finals. Duh, come on.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, I will not say anything. Typically, and then I'm again dying to some Hydra doing Overwatch and killing my Hive Tyrant.
Well, that sounds like a you problem. Maybe you should have a Hive Tyrant. Have you thought about the fact that it's really selfish that you have a Hive Tyrant? You shouldn't have.
Nassim, thank you for being here. Good luck in the season. I hope to see you in Belgium, or we hope to see you in Belgium in the summer.
Yeah,
and thank you for a view into Guard in Arcs of Omen, for a small view into Tau.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you very much. My pleasure. It was great being here. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming. See you around.
I think this was our first edition, and we will see if somebody likes it, maybe we will do a second. Bye.
Sounds good.